Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining us on another adventure with Brothers in Song. Joe, how are you feeling today?
I'm doing pretty well, Danny. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in there. I'm excited for the start of summer. And I don't have too many solid plans, but I think it's going to be a good one.
Footloose and fancy free, my friend. That's the way to approach summer.
Something like that. Something like that.
So before we get into it, I wanted to ask you a quick question, and we're going to tie it all together. So it might seem like a non sequitur to start a music podcast, but we're just going to go there, and you'll, friends, if you stay to the end, you'll see how we're going to wrap it all up in a nice little bow. So my question for you, Dan, is what movie in your life do you think you've watched the most times?
I'm not exactly sure. I mean, there are a few that I've seen too many times for me to count or have any clue as to how many times that I've seen them. And I might be missing a couple in my card catalog in my brain here.
Sure, sure.
I'm going to go with either Goodfellas or one of the installments from the Lord of the Rings movie series.
Okay.
Not The Hobbit. We're going to leave that out.
Yeah. But original trilogy. Yeah.
The original trilogy. It's probably Goodfellas. I mean, I watched it last weekend.
Well, I'm pretty sure.
Just because, like, you know, you got those movies that you, when you know them that well, and you just want to watch something just to watch it, and you know you'll enjoy it, so you put it on, and that's what happened.
So I have a couple comments about this question, and I will give you my answer. So, number one, I'm pretty sure, and she can hit us up on Instagram if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure our sister had Goodfellas like on a loop in her college dorm. Like that thing would just be on like 12 hours a day. People would, like walk in and be like, oh, it's a scene where he's making the pizza, where he's making the sauce in prison. Ah, I'm going to sit for 5 minutes and watch it. But just an awesome movie. Totally agree with that one. My other comment is I thought of this question because I'm like, what are the movies that like I habitually watch like once a year during a certain time of the year? So like certainly Christmas movies, probably Home Alone might be the one that I've watched the most. Mm. But then there are other times of year where I watch other movies, you know?
Right.
Like Halloween movies, like Hocus Pocus or something like that. You know, you just throw it on for the kids and you know all the beats that are going to happen. And then frankly, today I was like doing some busy work at work. And I threw on Raiders of the Lost Ark because the new Indiana Jones movie is coming out. And I was like, I haven't watched that in a while, but I'm sure I've seen it, you know, 10, at least 5+ times, maybe not 10, but you know what I'm saying? And yeah, it's like, well, it's like kind of comfort food because you can have it on in the background. You could be doing something else and you're just like, oh yeah, I'm back with my old friends, you know?
Right. Fun fact about me. I have not seen a single Indiana Jones movie.
Oh my God. What are we doing, Dan? What are we doing?
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the later ones, but I should probably watch the first two at some point.
Well, the first three are required reading.
The first three
are watching.
Even the Sean Connery one?
Absolutely the Sean Connery one. Are you kidding me?
Oh, okay.
That might be my favorite one. Temple of Doom is kind of weird, but we'll put that to the side. And then the one with Shia LaBeouf, you can take it or leave it. It's up to you. But there's a new one coming out. So maybe we'll have to fix that for you. At any rate, another movie that I've watched a lot of times is Back to the Future. And we're going to circle back to that later on in this podcast. But just for our listeners, Dan, I thought it'd be fun for us just to revisit how we came to this, the premise for this episode, which is not a conventional way that folks who have listened to us for a while have known us to just, you know, have a special episode. We're going to pick a couple things, or, you know, you pick one, I pick one. No, this is like a totally new little gimmick that we're trying out. So what we did is I posed Dan a couple of questions, and then I chose his adventure for him. So, Dan, do you want a single solo performer or a group?
So I chose a group.
You chose a group. That's right. Good. You're one for one on this quiz. Yeah. Now, did we choose, what style of music did we choose?
Pop.
We did choose pop. That's correct, sir. Two for two. And what was the decade that we landed in?
The 80s.
The 80s. Awesome. Love pop music from the 80s. So this is like, he was like, if you are a professor, you're grading this test on a curve for me. Because yeah, this is like right in my wheelhouse. So what I chose for your adventure was, tonight we're going to talk about the wonderful, I think, 1986 album by Huey Lewis and the News 4. Huey Lewis and the News is a group I've always been aware of, always wanted to kind of talk about them a little bit with you, because I don't think we've ever had a conversation about them, really. But
no, I don't think so.
They were really important to the 80s, I think. And really kind of interesting, had an interesting sound. And they were out of San Francisco and, you know, had a lot of really great hits. And the reason why I posed the question to you about your favorite movie is because probably one of, if not the most popular song of theirs, is Power of Love, which was the theme song for the 1985 movie Back to the Future. So I thought it'd be fun for us to just take a listen to this music, which is created essentially during the same time frame. And in some instances, that track was actually included as a quote unquote bonus track. But tonight we're gonna really focus on the main album for it. And Dan, I'm curious, what were your sort of previous experiences with Huey Lewis and the News, and what do you think about this choice for your adventure?
Well, to answer your first question, this album made me think back to our Guilty Pleasures episode. Mm-hmm. Because they're part of a genre of music that I didn't include in my guilty pleasures, but is definitely a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I kind of think of as like dad rock. I don't know if that's a term that people actually use, but in my mind, it's a certain type of rock music, usually from the 80s. Huey Lewis is a part of that. I also think of like certain Phil Collins songs, maybe John Mellencamp, maybe Dire Straits, that kind of thing.
Yep.
And it's a genre I have a lot of nostalgia for. I really like Huey Lewis. The album previous to this, Sports, was one that was in heavy rotation in our household. I liked a lot of songs from that, and I still like a lot of those songs. So my biggest first impression of this album was I liked it, but for me it was a little bit of a letdown. It's not terrible by any means. I thought there were a lot of good musical qualities in terms of the musicianship and the singing, you know, and the harmonies. But I felt like most of the album was a little too relaxed feeling, a little bit too middle of the road compared to Sports, which I think is upbeat. It's kind of cheesy, but in the best possible way.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also really kind of clever.
Yeah.
So on this album, the song that reminded me the most of Sports is Hip to Be Square.
Mm-hmm.
On Sports, you have songs like Heart of Rock and Roll and I Want a New Drug. And like, those are the songs that I think is Huey Lewis at his best and the band's best. But on the other hand, like I said, there's kind of a deceptively high level of musicianship here. And there is a lot to enjoy, but it's kind of in spots. Some songs are a lot stronger than others, in my opinion. So I'm sure we'll get into the specifics of that, in a few minutes. What did you think?
Well, it's interesting because, in a weird way, I had a similar nostalgic feeling going back and listening to this, because I do remember hearing, after listening to it from all the way through, I was like, oh yeah, I recognize this song, I recognize this little tune, I recognize this little guitar riff, and with all that being said, it's kind of like, you know how in movies they're like, oh, or TV shows, they're like, we need to make this look like the 80s. It's like, this totally sounds like the 80s. And I don't know how many songs on this album were used in TV or movies, but like, I could see a number of them being used in that way. And for better or worse, the 80s, it was what it was. And sometimes it was a little bit saccharine and it was a little bit like cheesy. But at the end of the day, for people of our age, I turn 40 next week, it brings back a lot of good memories, I think. And with that being said, I totally agree with you about the musicianship and even some of the songwriting. Some of it is really not the best, but some of it actually is pretty good. So that was kind of how I approached it. I certainly had heard, Hip to Be Square before, and I'm pretty sure I've heard, at least pieces of many of these songs, if not the whole way through. I probably just wasn't paying attention. But I'd love to know, like, what were some of the tracks that really stood out for you in this really crisp, 37-minute, 53-second album?
Well, speaking of music and movie connections, so have you ever seen the movie American Psycho?
I have not in a very long time, though.
Okay, so the song Hip to Be Square features prominently in one scene.
I read
Do you
that as
remember
well.
that? So, and that is a movie about the 80s, specifically the excess of the 80s. And the movie is incredibly violent, but it's also very darkly comedic, and Hip to Be Square
Plays a big role in that,
plays
right?
a role in making it have that feeling for sure. If you feel like it, I'm sure you can YouTube that scene. It's a pretty famous scene. The singles on this are pretty strong. I think they stand up to other Huey Lewis hits, Hip to Be Square being one, Stuck With You being another one. I definitely remember Stuck With You from my childhood, mainly because I like misheard the lyrics. But anyway, both those songs have great hooks, great harmonies, great instrumentation. Hip to Be Square is pretty brilliantly put together because that's such a memorable line. And then, so he just kind of like shouts out, it's hip to be square. And then that little riff in between
Da
when he
da
says it.
da
Yeah,
da.
that's, I mean, that's just so catchy. And
Such an earworm. Like, you can't get it out of your head.
It's pretty great. And Stuck With You is kind of similar in that you know, the chorus is kind of this clever turn of phrase where, you know, usually you would say, I'm stuck with you, or I'm stuck in this situation, has a negative connotation, but he's like, I'm happy to be stuck with you.
Right.
You know, everyone's going to have to go through tough times in life, no matter who you are. And if we're going to have that experience, then, you know, we may as well have it with each other because we love each other, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And to finish up my thoughts on those two, it's funny how both of those songs are, they sound a bit quirky. But they're both espousing the benefits of being a total normie.
Yeah.
Which on another level is kind of funny to hear from a guy who's from San Francisco, who quit architecture school.
Yeah.
You know, and then he became a stowaway on a commercial flight to Marrakesh, Morocco. Like, this is the 70s we're talking about. So he kind of like convinced or bribed a flight attendant to allow him on a plane to Marrakesh. So it was total like iconoclast person, musician.
Not to mention, I'm pretty sure he went to Dartmouth, didn't he, for a time?
Oh, maybe, like, maybe he did. Maybe I missed that too.
Yeah.
But it's just funny how these songs are about
regular people.
Regular people and celebrating these components of regular life when he is not a regular person at all. So I just found that kind of interesting.
No, I agree. And he's kind of just an interesting singer, performer, musician generally, I would say. You know, something that I learned a couple of years ago is I think he's not profoundly deaf, but he is very aggressively losing his hearing, which I always felt bad about, from a medical condition that he has. And I'm like, wow, that must be like, as a musician, that must be like one of the worst sensations that you could have in the world. It's like not being able to hear. But, you know, I love his vocal quality because I feel like it's so authentic to him. Mm-hmm. And it's not like virtuosic or, you know, particularly pretty, but it totally fits the style of music. And I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg in that scenario, but all these songs really fit his voice well. And if we come, you know, some of my favorites were, I agree with you on Stuck With You, because I thought that was like just a really clever song. And you have to mention Hit to Be Square, because that was a huge hit. It was like so popular, and probably the most popular song on this album. But the one for me that there's two that I really like. Naturally, which is like really a callback to like the doo-wop era, and like how I think that's a, you know, a great homage to that style of music. And he was heavily influenced by blues and jazz and all that sort of stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool. But for me, the one that I really, really liked a lot is I'll Never Walk Alone. I thought that was just a great song, a great use of his voice. And it really does emphasize the theme that you just mentioned, which is, you know, it's talking about like in your neighborhood, you have the people who watch your back, right? And the people who are going to look out for you,
right?
Whether it's your friends' parents, just a random neighbor who knows your kid in the neighborhood. And I don't know for sure, but that doesn't seem like his experience growing up, but it was a very cool sentiment to have in a song. And like musically, you have like the Hammond organ coming in the intro. And then about 2/3 of the way through the song, you get another like Hammond organ solo, which is awesome. And I just love that. And That was probably my favorite one. Did that one stick out for you at all, or am I just like, that's just like a song for Joe, and we'll tack it into his column and let it be what it is.
Well, to expand upon what you were saying,
Yeah.
I liked the lyrical content of that song because there are so few examples of men just singing about companionship
Yeah.
and relationships
Yeah.
beyond romantic or sexual ones. And
There's a
just
track on this that certainly does talk about that, but we can skip it if you want.
no, it's okay. But I like it when men are able to, are able to talk about those topics in a sincere way. So I definitely appreciated that song for those reasons. Another song that I liked among the non-hits was the opener, Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah.
That one has a little bit of a different feel than the rest of the album. That one, I think, because of the 80s light rock sound,
Yeah.
really feels like the 80s instead of their early 60s influence, doo-wop influence. The reason why becomes obvious when you learn that Bruce Hornsby wrote it. You know him?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So, for those of you who don't know, Bruce Hornsby had a pretty successful decade of the 80s. He did this song Mandolin Rain, and most famously, The Way It Is, which was later sampled by Tupac for his song Changes. And he probably made more money off of that than like when the
Anything
song
else?
actually came out. But yeah, I like that 80s light rock sound more than some of the 60s doo-wop stuff that they had going on
Well, they
for this album.
certainly embrace that tone and that feeling. And as I mentioned earlier, the power of love is one of their most famous, if not their mo one of, if not the most famous song they have. And I totally could see how this could fit in the album. I don't know what the arrangement, like the contractual agreement was, because it totally could have fit into this album, both thematically and musically. And it was, I think, added as a bonus track in certain instances, but like that is really like the quintessential sound of Huey Lewis and the News. Like, because you have the rock guitar, but then you also have, a couple of other key elements, like his voice and the lyric writing, and then even some of the other instrumentations. Like, it sounds like the 80s, but you wouldn't mistake it for like something else, like Bon Jovi or
Right.
Journey or any of those sort of like kind of hair metal bands. You know what I'm saying? They were certainly different from that. And
Right, and it's not like new wave, like the Cars or something like that.
no.
Yeah, I understand what you mean.
But they were coming at, I guess they're coming at it from sort of the back end, meaning like, so I think he was born in 1950, Huey Lewis. I imagine all the other members of the band are essentially his contemporary. So 50 to the 80s, 86, 80, 85, 86, he's 35, 36. Like, he's not an up and comer. He is what he is at that point, right?
Sure, yeah.
And he's really like taking his influence from the 60s and the 70s and bringing it forward in a new sort of iteration of that style of music, where I think some groups that were sort of coming up in the 80s, they were just kind of doing their own thing based on the skills and the technology that were available to them. And then people took that and then moved it forward again. You know what I'm saying? So
Yeah.
I like how they still stayed connected to that kind of root core. And Huey Lewis, he was he really started playing music pretty early on, right? I think it was probably like the early 70s when he like became like a quote unquote professional musician. So, but I thought that was important to mention because I think it really influenced a lot of this album.
Yeah. Yeah. And The Power of Love, you know, before we decided to record tonight, you said that you wanted to specifically talk about that song, even though it's not on the album.
Yeah.
And you asked me to listen to it again. Of course, I've heard it a million times, but I don't know when the last time I heard it was. And listening to it, I'm just like, man, this is just so, it's so well produced.
Yeah.
Like everything just feels like in perfect balance. And speaking of Huey Lewis's voice and circling back to that, one thing that's interesting about his voice is that it like the placement is back a little bit.
Yeah.
And the color is kind of more like, it's got more of like a dark color to it.
Yeah. It's muted. It's not like forward and bright at all.
Right. And that kind of makes you think that he's singing lower than he is.
Yeah.
And then at the end of Power of Love, when he's, I'm going to sing it an octave down because,
yeah.
You know, but he sings, that's the power. And it's like, it's up there. Like he's touching, I don't know if the score in front of me or anything, but he's touching.
He's above the staff. Yeah.
He's above the staff, definitely.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like in a mixed vocal range.
Mm-hmm.
But like on that last syllable, that note he touches, I'm like, oh, that's kind of up there. And that's kind of nice. And it's also kind of like an unusual way to phrase that.
Yeah.
So definitely a cool song. And maybe should have been included on this album instead of some other selections that perhaps we should talk about now. What do you think?
I think so, because there were a couple that I would say were a little bit of a swing and a miss for me. We talked about Doja Cat in a couple of episodes prior to this.
Yeah.
And we were like, the content of this is not appropriate.
Yeah.
For children.
Yeah.
And A Whole Lot of Lovin' is just not appropriate. I don't know what else to say about that. I don't know if it was meant to be humorous, but it was just like, yeah, I don't need that on here. The other two that sort of stood out for me, The Forest for the Trees and Simple as That, I didn't love. And maybe it's because I liked I'll Never Walk Alone so much that I was just like, just end it there. And I know that's too short of an album, but like those two were just like, a little bit too 80s like whipped cream for me. And I was just like, yeah, I don't need to listen to those ever again. I don't know.
I mean,
what about you?
I mean, those were kind of the ones that were on my list too. A Whole Lot of Lovin', it's full of like, you know, I don't know how you want to say it, but just kind of like old fashioned rock and roll sexual euphemisms.
Yeah.
That just don't age particularly well.
Yeah.
And it's got one good moment, which I'll say at the end, but I have to say like the beginning of that song with
is super cringe, as my daughter
super cringe. It is super cringe. It's giving me like Uncle Jesse and the Rippers vibes.
Yeah.
From Full House.
Yeah.
But I do like the part where he says, so the lyric at the end of the chorus goes something like, I hope you will remember who I am.
Yeah.
And then after the second chorus, he says, I'm the guy with the harmonica. And then he does the harmonica solo. I'm like, I got to respect that. But I didn't really like the rest of the song.
Yeah.
But yeah. But Simple as That, that's a big stinker for me. That song sucks. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not good.
I mean, it's attempting to frame these everyman struggles in a more serious context, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with the struggles of everyday existence are worth exploring just as much as like big philosophical questions. But this Drek is just so cliche, and the music is so schmaltzy that I just can't listen to it. And it's very long. It's very long as well. I think it's over 5 minutes.
Well, it's pretty close to 5 minutes, but which, I mean, when you think about it, you're like saying this album is only 40, not even 40 minutes, so a 5 minute song, you really have a reason to have it be that long, right?
I suppose.
I don't know what that reason is. Maybe somebody else does, but
To
I
be
concur.
fair, he didn't write that one.
He did not. He did not,
I don't
actually,
know
in
if there's
fair.
other band members on that with the writing credits. I can't recall.
And I would say he probably wrote fewer songs on this album than he did on others. I think it's just much more collaborative. And that might have just been a necessity given that Sports came out not so long before this. So maybe he was kind of, maybe his notebook was all used up. And then you need to get some other people involved in this. Just one more thing I thought would be fun to mention because we've talked about them before. Did you know? Well, I would assume you did not know prior to listening to this, but like, did you know in doing your prep for this, Tower of Power, our old friends of the pod, are featured prominently in this album on a couple of tracks, which I thought was kind of fun.
Yeah, I was happy to see that. They did the horns on this. Yeah, I thought that was cool.
It was cool. They sounded great, as they always do. And really, we're talking about Naturally, and we're talking about Do It All for My Baby, where they were heavily featured, because those are the ones that have the most horns. But yeah, just like love that they added that to it. It's a little bit like the E Street Bands with Clarence Clemons. It's like, oh yeah, there it is. Like you kind of love that extra little oomph when it comes in because it just creates so many different colors and contrasting sonorities that it's just kind of cool to have on a couple of tracks.
I definitely agree. I like seeing collaborations like that. And the funny thing is, in the 80s, in the 70s and 80s, there were loads of collaborations like that, but it wasn't promoted. And then you get to the 90s and like every song has a featuring so and so, so that you get that like cross marketing thing. And in the 70s and 80s, it happened, but you've got to like look for it in the credits.
Correct. Because, like, in the 90s, I was like, yeah, boy! You hear a track, you'd be like, Dan Collin featuring Joe Collin, like on the track we're listening, right?
And now you don't even have to really look at the credits or even the title of the song, because they'll just say it. DJ Khaled, be the best music. It's like, oh, okay, I know DJ Khaled was involved in this. Thank God I know that now. But
Well,
anyway.
you would have sat up all night thinking about it, right?
Who's the guy that says we the best music? Gotta find that out. What are your final thoughts on this album?
I thought this was very nostalgic and I really enjoyed it. And, I don't know. It's kind of crazy. And maybe this is just me being like retrospective. It's like, oh yeah, like I'm around the same age as my parents were when this music came out. And it's like,
Fair enough, yeah.
oh, I kind of get why this was like part of what they listened to. It was cool to listen to it more closely because you know, I've certainly heard Huey Lewis in the news before, but I've never really like spent some time listening to them. And, you know, again, that was sort of the whole mission of this podcast, was to get us to listen more closely to songs that we, or artists that we had some familiarity with, but never really like sat down and be like, I'm only going to focus on this and only going to listen to this. So that was really fun for me. You know, it was the 80s and there was mistakes were made, and that's okay. It's fine.
Yeah.
But I think generally, like, I really do like them. I think I'll probably listen to more of him now that we've like revisited it, cause he's in my brain. Cause I think he is a really fun artist. What about you? What are your final thoughts?
You know, I think maybe to start off with, I don't want to say I was being unfair, but just to put things in perspective a little bit, the stuff on sports is so good for what it is. And there were so many big hits on that. Following up that album must have been a very difficult task.
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to do here? I think that sometimes artists can get pulled into that trap of like, oh, we need to top ourselves now. And I don't necessarily think that's what they did, but maybe they were just like, let's try and move in a different direction because we've already done X, Y, and Z, you know? That being said, I'd still rather listen to sports, but
I agree.
I'm glad we listened to this just to get more of a sampling of what they did.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know, we try in this podcast not to take the easy road, so that's why I chose this one instead of sports. It's like, yeah. Oh yeah, like that's gonna be just like kind of an easy thing for us to like listen to and digest. So right, I wanted to challenge us a little bit. But at any rate, I think this was a fun one, and I hope that our listeners enjoy revisiting or visiting Huey Lewis in the News for the first time as they listen to this album. But I think we've done it, Dan. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask, are we going to preview our next adventure? Because you gave me some parameters and then you chose my adventure. So,
Right. So I think we're going to leave the selection a mystery.
Okay.
But we'll let everybody know
the
adventure.
Instagrammo.
Yeah. We'll let everybody know what the parameters of your adventure are gonna be, or my adventure, whichever adventure. You gave me the description, and then I had to pick an album, is the way it worked. So
yeah,
you said 2000s. Country solo artist.
Let's go.
Right. So when you first brought that to my attention, I was like, oh no, what am I gonna find?
But I know I did not want to make it easy for you,
but I did find what I think will be an interesting one, and we'll talk about that next time.
Excelente.
All right, well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you had fun. We certainly did. And we'll see you next time.
Brothers in Song is written and produced by Joseph Collin and Daniel Collin, and edited by Daniel Collin. To keep up with the latest news, follow us on Instagram at Brothers in Song. Until next time, listen to some new music. You just may surprise yourself.